You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
J.M. Barrie is best known for writing Peter Pan, but he wrote many plays, most of them rarely seen these days. One of them, Mary Rose, has just been revived for the first time in over 50 years, at least in this country. It opened last week at the Vineyard Theater on East 15th Street to wonderful reviews. In the title role is Paige Howard, who's making her professional debut, and she joins me now, along with Douglas Abel, who is the Vineyard Theater's artistic director. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I said the first time in this country because I gather that Mia Farrow, who is coming on the show later, played Mary Rose in London?
Yes, she just mentioned that to us.
30 years ago.
I believe so.
And, well, I wish you a nice career like Mia's.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Now, Douglas, how did you hear about this play?
Well, you know, the Vineyard's mainly known for new plays, but some years ago I was actually reading a psychobiography of Alfred Hitchcock, and the writer had this thesis that Hitchcock's entire career was, evolved through his adoration of this particular play, Mary Rose, which he saw many, many times as a young man in London in 1920.
And do you see the links?
Oh, absolutely. The sort of the interesting mix of comedy and tragedy, the wry wit, the underlaying sadness and you know, the exploration of the supernatural along with the real world. It's very present in so many of his films.
But I don't associate J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan with Alfred mm-hmm. Hitchcock. So this is another side of J.M. Barrie.
Absolutely. Well, I think it was probably considered quite modern and startling when it first appeared in 1920. I mean, it is a ghost story, has a lot of, you know, just an interesting mix of sort of whimsicality, fantasy, romantic comedy, and the supernatural.
And was it a hit then?
I think it was considered a moderate success, mm-hmm. and it certainly inspired a lot of artists in its time, and it's very rarely done in the U.S.
It's about a young woman who disappears mysteriously and then just as mysteriously returns to her family. How much do you think Mary Rose is a product of the period in which it was written? And because it's interesting that Barrie wrote it much after he wrote Peter Pan, I guess, what, about 16 years later?
I think many people think that the play was actually written in response to his experiencing the loss of really a generation of young soldiers in World War I and the flu epidemic and his own sort of tragic personal history, because it is very much a play about losing a child, trying to find a child, and losing one's innocence. And it's a very, very bittersweet story. And I think in a sense it was his reaction to this collective challenge that this whole country had at the time.
But can't we also see it as the dark side of Peter Pan, somebody who never grows up, but not necessarily in a happy way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I call it the dark side. I think it's a companion piece. It's a sort of more mature consideration of life and death and the life cycle as seen by Barrie at a much later age. So they're definitely they're very much related, and they both really are variations on a theme.
Now, Paige, how did you get involved in this? You've been at NYU recently.
Yes, I have been. I have been for 3.5 years, and I read the play and I loved it so much right off the bat. And so I was just like, oh, I need to audition for this. This is just such a beautiful piece. And so I went in and auditioned, and it went really well. And everyone was fantastic. Tina was just incredible. So it worked out that way.
Well, she's kind of like, as we said, a female Peter Pan. But she does marry and have a child and seems to be happy in married life. Were there things about her that you could relate to?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I think the thing that I can relate to most is this tendency of hers to sort of jump quickly from topic to topic, to where it sort of comes off a bit maybe random to the listener, but is really it makes a lot of sense to her, and it's very connected, you know, from her standpoint.
You connect to that because that's something you tend to do?
I tend to do that. Sort of skip along.
Well, there's a sweetness and innocence to this play, and yet it's really terribly sad.
It is. It's you know, sort of a mix of all of those things. And I think the thing that sort of, you know, does make it so terribly sad is the fact that there is so much, it's such a play about relationships and love and, you know, a certain need for each other that I think in the end is what makes it so, you know, heart-wrenching, because, you know, there's a lot to lose, I guess. So.
You also had to learn to master a special dialect, didn't you?
Yes.
1880s English?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My guests are Paige Howard, who plays a title role in a new production of Jane Barry's Mary Rose, and Douglas Abel, who is the artistic director of the Vineyard Theater, which, by the way, is at 108 East 15th Street, just off of Union Square. Doug, I should mention that there's also a narrator in
yes.
this production. Isn't that something you've added?
Yes. I brought the play to a brilliant director, Tina Landau, who I've worked with before, who's an extraordinary theater artist. And we actually sat down and did a reading or two of the play. And Tina discovered, as I did, that the play was filled with these exquisitely written and very powerful and very relevant stage directions. And she had a fascinating idea of incorporating some of them in the guise of a narrator. And we were very fortunate to get the wonderful actor Cair Delay returning to the New York stage.
Mm-hmm. In his post-2001
absolutely.
Incarnation.
And it's used very subtly, not in a heavy-handed way, but it's a powerful device. And I think by the end of the play, you might even begin to realize that he's not just a dispassionate narrator, but perhaps a character in the play at a much later point in his life, reliving the whole story.
Well, I can't imagine seeing this play without knowing those things that he reveals. When you read it, Paige, did you wonder about that? Or did you know that they were going to do it with the narrator?
I didn't know, but his stage directions, Jane Barry's stage directions, are so beautiful that when reading without actually giving it much thought, they absolutely just did become, it was very much a character. The stage directions are written so much so like a character, because they're so thorough, so sort of engaged and engaging, and so absolutely I believe that I read it, you know, initially with the idea that they were very much a part of the play.
And it must have come as kind of a shock, considering all the film scripts I'm sure you've seen over the years as part of the family involvement in show business. In film scripts, generally those descriptions are kept to a minimum.
Absolutely. Very different, very different.
It's more about where you move the camera and less about
yes.
what the emotional... The characters are feeling emotionally.
Right.
And Jane Barry gives us all of that. And
oh my gosh.
I guess actors must have felt like they were being told exactly what to do. They didn't even need a director.
I mean, we got so lucky as far as, you know, I feel so lucky to be doing a play by such a brilliant writer and also, you know, such a fantastic director.
Now, Doug, Cair Delay has been... doing things since 2001. In fact, he is currently in the movie The Good Shepherd. But has he done much theater?
Yes, he has, actually. Mm. He works constantly. And I believe he lives in Connecticut, and he's married to the actress Maya Dillon, and he's a veteran stage actor. You know,
he
just hasn't been doing that much in New York. And so it's wonderful to be able to reintroduce him, as well as introducing Paige to a New York audience.
Well, Paige, your father, Ron Howard, started very young, and here you are starting in your 20s. Were there warnings not to get involved in the business when you were a teenager?
I wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed. You know, both my mom and dad really, really left it up to us as far as what we wanted to get into career-wise, but as far as, you know, actually sort of getting into the entertainment industry, if that was something we wanted to do, we had to hold off until we were 18.
So your sister Bryce Dallas mm-hmm. has become an actress. You,
yes.
You're a twin.
I'm a twin.
Is Jocelyn Carlisle, your sister, also interested in acting?
She's not. She's an amazing writer. amazing
writer. Are you identical twins?
Fraternal. We're very different.
Oh, okay. So now that explains it. Otherwise, you'd both be acting.
Yes, I know. Exactly.
So she's a writer, and there are other kids as well, aren't there?
There's my younger brother, who's a golfer, and then my older sister.
But when you grow up in a family where acting is and film and all of that is discussed all the time, I imagine that was a topic over the dinner table. And and when Dad was going off to work, and you may have gone with him to work sometime, could you imagine doing anything else? Probably acting seemed like the norm.
I do feel really lucky because I was so interested in it, you know, especially just through high school. And it was because it was such a part of the normal conversation day to day. It worked out perfectly because, you know, sort of these ideas and, you know, how it all works is constantly swirling around me. So I got very lucky as far as that was concerned. But I wouldn't say that it was sort of, it was, you know, expected, it was the norm, but it certainly, no one was surprised.
Yeah, like you were watching people doing all of this stuff, and I assume it was as much of an education in its own way as studying with Stella Adler or going to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art, which you've also done.
Yeah, it was absolutely an enormous education. I've just, oh gosh, so yeah, I've learned so much from them.
Now, Doug, you've had another career as well, haven't you? Casting director for movies?
Yes, I have. I've worked on a lot of films, and I've actually had the pleasure of casting Rice's first movie, The Village. So I sometimes feel like I'm working on behalf of the Howard children.
Well, they often say that casting is, what, 80% of the whole thing? I don't know what percentage it is, but it really is important to get the right person.
Absolutely.
Did you do the casting here as well? Because the cast is fabulous.
I collaborated with my casting director, Cindy Tolan, and we went through a really exhaustive search. Mary Rose in particular is such a challenging role. You need someone fresh and sparkling and someone who can be haunting and moving and innocent and not so innocent. And we were thrilled when we met Paige. She walked in the door, and after she left, the director, Tina Landau, said, she's Mary Rose. That's just it.
Well, and, were you surprised she hadn't done anything before?
Well, she was in college, and we actually, at first, she wasn't going to come in because she was still at school, and we actually had to urge her a bit to try out for the play.
I was nervous. I wasn't sure.
Well, you're lucky in putting together things here because there are so many actors who want to stay in New York these days. In the past, everybody would have been in California at one point or another.
Well, I think it's changed. I think so many films and especially television shows draw from the New York talent pool now that it's much more possible for actors to work equally from both coasts and not have to make that life-changing decision to leave New York. And so really, I still believe the best and the brightest acting talents are centered around New York City.
And even some of the films, the most exciting films, you cast the Squid and the Whale, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, yes.
Now, we were talking earlier about The Vineyard really often being described as the little theater that could because you've launched so many important plays, Avenue Q on the one hand, and then Edward Albee's Three Tall Women, Paula Vogel's How I Learned to Drive, two very difficult plays
yes.
that were enormous successes. And then here you find this J. M. Barrie play that nobody
I know.
Probably
it's
was
curious.
Was thinking would be staged again.
I sometimes believe that Mr. Barrie was looking over us and just urging us to do it. I became just overwhelmed with the play and very much wanted to do it and felt the director had this vision that was fresh and that we really worked on it as if it was a new play and missed terribly having a playwright present, but it was an incredible experience.
So how do you decide what plays that you're going to mount?
You just have to feel it in your heart. I hate to say it, but I usually know within a page or two of reading something if it reaches me. And I have to feel a passion about the play. I have to feel in my heart that I have to produce this play and bring it to life. And I'm sort of incapable of doing otherwise.
So, Paige, now that you've had this experience and gotten these great reviews, what happens? Do you go back to college, or do you say, if somebody dangles something exciting in front of you, well, maybe I'll just put off graduating a little longer?
I think that it's really up in the air. It depends. If someone does sort of, if something comes along that I really love and I think is you know, worth it, I will take some more time off of school. But if not, then I'll just go and finish up and see where it goes. But
meanwhile, we have Paige in Mary Rose, playing Mary Rose. Also in the cast, Keira DeLay, Susan Blommert, Richard Short, Betsy Adam, Michael Countryman, Tom Rees-Farrell, Darren Goldstein, and Ian Brennan. And it is at the Vineyard Theater just off of Union Square on 15th Street. A nice little theater, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's so great.
And I thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.